Good evening. I hope everybody had a good Yontif. This week we read Parshas Naso, the longest parasha in the Torah, 176 Psukim. Of course, it matches up with Baba Basra, which is also 176 blot, 176 pages. It's not by accident. It's done that way purposely. And so we move on to Naso. Now, we noticed that, as I mentioned last week, we finished off with Shevet Kohath to give them preference to show that they were they had the most important job in taking care of the Mishkan, but Gershon was the Bechor. And that is why, when the parasha begins, when it says, Naso es Rosh B'nei Gershon Gam Haim, what is the point of using the terminology Gam Haim, also Gershon? Because one might think that all the specifications and the restrictions that are imposed upon Kohath, since they're mentioned out of birth order, might be only applying to them. But so with Gershon, we're saying Gam Haim, also they have the same restrictions, which is also another reason why the Levium were counted only from, not were counted, but were put into service as the Levium who had to take care of the Aron and the Mishkan at the age of 30. We may think that they had a cushy job, but the reality is that the reason they had to wait till 30, since the job was so strenuous, at the age of 20, one would not be strong enough yet, fully formed, to withstand the rigors of their job. And at 25, they went into an apprenticeship for 5 years to learn all the duties that they would have to perform at the age of 30. And they could only perform these duties from the age of 30 to 50. And after 50, since their health would, their strength would wane at some point in time, they would not be able to carry on. And we see that as well as we, when we get to the end of the parasha, we notice when all the Nesiim are offering their karbanos, offering their sacrifices on each day, they bring all their animals and all the things, the accoutrements that go along with the karbanos. It says they brought it on wagons, and they thought they would get the wagons back, but God instructed Moshe to take the wagons so that the wagons could help Shevet, the tribe of Gershon and Merari, in the aiding of their carrying all the kalim from the Mishkan in the 40 years that they would be. Of course, they thought maybe it would only be a short time at this juncture, but they would be able to carry it with them. And unfortunately, Kohath had to withstand all the rigors. They would get no help because, as we saw in last week's parasha, it says, Bakosei fi so, which brings to mind the thought process where, while many shuls, after we do Hagbig Lila, we have this stand where we put the Sefer Torah. There are many shuls that they won't take that. They don't do it. One should be carrying it. I know I felt strongly one time when I had to carry a Sefer Torah for a Pesach, being a rabbi in a hotel for Pesach, and I had to transport the Sefer Torah. I made sure one of my children would sit in the back seat holding it, not placing it in the trunk or on the shelf behind them. They had to carry it, which to give it the honor to the Sefer Torah, one does not leave it by itself, which is a very iffy thing. Let's put it that way. Of course, so many shuls do it because nobody wants to be straddled with holding the Sefer Torah, but there are still a lot of places that do that, and it may be called into question on some ways. But nevertheless, so we move on to there. If you notice at the end of the parasha, when it's really, we'll get back to earlier on, but in the meantime, as soon as we mentioned the karbanos that everyone brought, it's very interesting that the Torah is so terse and not very wordy, and God parses every single word and every single letter. Every punctuation mark in the Torah is done purposely, and nothing is extra. And yet by the karbanos, which all 12 end up to be exactly the same, a big paragraph for each one, and each one is listed separately, it could have possibly just said that, well, the 12 Shvatim or Nachshon ben Aminadav brought this for his karban, and the rest of the tribes all did the same. Well, certainly we would learn the same thing, or in fact, would we? And there are so many, there is so much ink been written about it. To think that this was happenstance would be a so much thinking out of the box that they all just happen to have different thought process. But the Abarbanel points out a very interesting thought that, which I had thought myself, but the reality is that they all got together. And since they all brought the same carbon, they did it on purpose. And the reason they did it on purpose is not to instill any feelings of jealousy. What was good for one was good for all. They all decided to bring exactly the same carbon so that all things would be the same for everybody. And in fact, they thought not only did they think that it would each bring the same carbon exactly, but to avoid further jealousy of who goes first and who goes last and who goes second and third and so on and so forth, they all expected to bring it on the same day. And that's why it says, Nosi Echad, Moshe instructed them, Nosi Echad Layom, Nosi Echad Layom. I'm sorry, fellas, you're going to have to bring them one day at a time, and I will give you the order of how they are going to do it. Reuven will not go first. The Bechor was taken away from him. Nachshon ben Aminadav, who was the greatest of all the Nesiim. How do we see from the wording that he was the greatest of the Nesiim? Because if you notice, all the others use the word Nasi after their name, or Nasi Livnei, but for Nachshon ben Aminadav, the word Nasi was inconsequential. It's just like saying in the Gemara, we don't say Hillel, we don't say Rabbi Hillel, because the term Rabbi is just doesn't say enough about him. And Nachshon ben Aminadav was, besides, a very humble person as well, but everybody knew he was so well known, everybody knew who he was. What made somebody a tribal leader was somebody who was always around and being able to be counted on. And everybody, of course, he was in charge with all the counting that we went through in last week's Parsha and the Parsha before we went on in last week's Parsha. They were in charge of all the counting and talking to everybody, discussing everyone's problems, and they were foremost and in front and center to discuss everybody's problem and solve them wherever they can. They were always available for everybody, and they were easily known to be the leaders of each tribe. And Nachshon ben Aminadav was the greatest of all. Yisachar was second because he was the biggest Talmud Chacham amongst the people, amongst the tribal leaders, and therefore so on and so forth. But nevertheless, neither one had any was any better than the other, and God was very specific about it, that they were all equal in terms in the eyes that they each brought the same carbon. One interesting fact also, which is not lost on us, but again, the wording would seem to be extra. When it says, V'nasi Livnei Yehuda, again, we have Nachshon ben Aminadav, Nisan el Betzuar, and so on and so forth, and at the end of the paragraph, it says, Ze Korban, Nachshon ben Aminadav, Ze Korban, Shlumiel ben Suri Shaddai, and so on and so forth. We know that that was the Korban. But what it's telling us is normally when you have politicians and they're doing something to the people, the government, the people of the city, is financing their operation. Whenever they have to carry something out, somebody puts up the funds for them to carry out whatever mission they have, their campaigns or whatever they're doing. It's done by other people who are footing the bill. When it says Zeh Korban Nachshon ben Aminadav and Zeh Korban Nisanel ben Tzuar or so on and so forth, it's to let us know that this was their carbon. Nobody else, the money for that, all of these, this entire carbon, which was quite extensive, came out of their own pocket, which was a lesson. In fact, for these kind of things, it's very important for Bnei Yisrael, for the leaders to be to spend money out of their own pocket, not to be financed. It's only within the last few hundred years that rabbis took a salary because it was necessary for them to do so, obviously. But wherever possible, they should not be taking a salary, of course, but that's a very difficult process nowadays. if one has to give off his life for in the time of the Gemara, the Tanoim and Amoraim did not get a salary. They did everything for the good of the community, but of course they were wealthy. Most of these people, a lot of them, had their own finances taken well. They were came from well-to-do families, as I once mentioned in a previous year. So they were able to. But nowadays, it's obvious that we have to support the teachers and the rabbis. They need a salary because this is their livelihood and they wouldn't survive otherwise. But this is a very interesting point. So when it says, Zeh Korban Nachshon Ben Aminadav, it came out of his pocket. He didn't go and looking for funding to say, I need this, which is very important, obviously. One other thing that's very important we notice, and it says, Kol Tzaruah V'Yishalchu Min HaMachaneh. Now that they've been all divided up into 12 separate Shvatim, it says, V'Yishalchu Min HaMachaneh Kol Tzaruah V'Chol Zog. Well, we could well understand why does it have to repeat this again, and we might think it since it says in Parshas Metzora the same things exactly, that you have to be mechutz lamachane, anybody who's a tzarua, a leper, or a zog, nocturnal emissions of all kinds, when he has that emanating from his body, and anybody who's tamei has to sit mechutz lamachane outside the camp. So why does it have to mention it again here now, that they shouldn't be metame the Kohanim and the Levium, they have to be separate, because at this juncture, all the people, each Shevet had its own Shevet, the Levium were totally separate. So you might think that, well, they could be amongst the rest of Klal Yisrael, the Levium are separate anyhow, we won't contaminate the Levium, so that they could continue to do their job unaffected, but nevertheless, they still have to be separate, so Vishalchum and Amachaneh, you might think otherwise, and nevertheless, we have to go through the same things once again. At the very end of the parasha is something that so much is written about that we're left with our hands in the air, and it says, "Ubevo Moshe lo el Moed ledaber ito vayishma es hakol medaber elav." Now the word medaber elav is difficult to read, because midaber elav, it sounds like God was talking constantly, and whenever Moshe wanted to walk in, it was like God's voice on a loop, sort of, and if you wanted to just come in and listen, Moshe would listen, but of course that's not bekovedik, it's not, it belittles the honor of God. I mean, he just talks and Moshe comes along. So we like to read it. Some people read it midaber elav. There's a difference of opinion whether we read the word midaber or midaber. But nevertheless, it's the point of the whole sentence is as follows, that Moshe was the only one, which brings to mind the end of the parsha next week as well, which we'll discuss in greater detail next week. But Moshe was the ubevo Moshe elo el moed is to tell us one simple fact, that all other Nevi'im that ever existed before and after Moshe Rabbeinu, the only time they had a communication from God is when God called them. And of course, many times in the Chumash, we see Vayikra El Moshe, the parasha begins in the Sefer Vayikra, and Vayikra Moshe, God calls him specifically because he wants to talk to him. But Uvavo Moshe had the ability, and he was on such a high level that whenever he felt the need to talk to God, he was able to. He didn't have to wait for God to communicate with him. If Moshe had anything on his mind that he wanted to discuss, God would allow him to enter. Uvavo Moshe lo el moed ledaber ito. Whenever Moshe wanted to speak with God, he would be allowed to do so at his own without being summoned by God. And that is a tremendous, unbelievable thing. And now, Vayishma es HaKol is a great, again, the Ramban seems to think that this is something, it's an internal voice that Moshe only heard. But that doesn't go along with the Chumash, because at Har Sinai, it says that V'kol shofar chosof miyod yuziv v'alokim yanenu b'kol, and God's voice spoke and everybody heard it. So the word kol, the implication of the word kol means that you can hear it. It's not an internal voice, it's an external voice. And therefore, we don't understand how the voice would be localized to Moshe Rabbeinu himself, but obviously it would, which was one of the miracles, that the voice emanated Mibein Shnei HaKruvim, but Moshe would just be standing inside the Ohel Moed, not between Bein HaKruvim, but that's where the voice emanated from. And it's Vayishma HaKol, and Moshe heard that voice, but as I just said, it was an external voice. What we get to this week is a very important hafor. It says the beginnings of Shimshon HaGibar, and what we learn from it is a very important story, is that his parents, his mother is walking along outside doing her daily chores when a malach, meets her outside and tells her that, I know you don't have any children and you want to have a son, and you will now have a son. The only restriction is he is going to be a Nazir, and you are going to have to bring him up as a Nazir from birth and all the restrictions that go along with being a Nazirite. And she goes home and tells her husband, Manoach. And by the way, it doesn't tell us her name. And if you look in the Gemara of Baba Basra and Daf Tzadik Aleph, it actually tells us that the name of Manoach's wife, in other words, Shimshon's mother, was Tlalfonis. On that blot, it's a good chance to look up that blot and see a lot of trivia questions, because it tells us the name of the mother of Avraham, Terach's wife, the mother of Haman. Why we would want to know, I don't know. But then David HaMelech's wife, also, which we, is very interesting. The mother of David HaMelech. And all of these things it tells us on that page. And, of course, the Mefarshim tell us that who cares what the names of the mothers are. It's because there would be people who say, the mothers of such great people, how come we don't know the name? So we want to, this was brought down. These names are listed, but for the sake of our learning, it's not important. It's just in case people would ask, we are told to do it. But nevertheless, getting back to the story, Shimshon is born from this union from the Manoach and his wife, Tlalfonis, and she is concerned that how could it be, so she doesn't understand. And her husband says, how is it possible that we're going to bring up a child like this? And she goes back to the field and asks hoping she could meet the Malach again to get a rehash and Manoach himself to hear these words. And Manoach was a simple man, and they bring him a carbon. They bring a carbon to him, and he says, I can't eat it. I'm an angel. They didn't know what type of person. Was he just a Navi? Was he a prophet of some kind? Or they didn't realize. But when he said, they realized he's an angel, they became very frightened. But nevertheless, the wife properly surmised that he wouldn't have accepted the carbon if he were going to kill us. But nevertheless, the lesson is, how am I going to bring up a child, a little baby of months old or 2 years old and 3 years old, how can I teach him not to eat any grapes or go near any vineyard and various places like that, if I am not a Nazir as well, because he only learns from what he sees, and the Malach basically tells him and shoved him, you hit the nail on the head. You are his father, and therefore, as any parent, is a role model for his child. Don't expect the child to learn anything different than what you teach him and show as an example, and therefore that is what he was told to do, and that's what we would have to do. And until Shimshon was old enough to know everything on his own, he would have to follow his father's example, which was quite a task for the father as well, to change his lifestyle as well. And therefore we have Shimshon HaGibor, who ruled Bnei Yisrael for 20 years. That story to be told at another time. Everyone have a good evening. I know the hour is late.